We got a new study this morning. You've got some white sheets that should be stapled together, and you've got a yellow sheet that has a list on it, and we're going to be filling in some items on our list. That list is not a right and wrong. In fact, you and your neighbor may not have the exact same things that are listed on there. What I would like to do is to start off with the word church. I want to take a look at the concept, the teaching regarding the church. We'll start with the word church, but that's not going to be the only thing that we're going to be taking a look at. And as we go through these passages that we have there, I want to add to a list, and I've kind of put some things on mine, and I'm going to try maybe even on here. What do we learn from God's Word about church? What do we know about this? And so I think you will be surprised at the number of things that we know from God's Word about what church is, what church does, who's a part of the church, who's not a part of the church. I mean, just all kinds of things like that. So let's start off and take a look. So on your white sheet, to begin, I've got two passages, one from Matthew 16, one from Matthew 18. What's quite significant about this is that when we go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the record of the life and the teaching and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and Him teaching His apostles, the word church is found here and twice here. That's it. You might expect that there would be just a whole bunch of passages about that. When we get to the book of Acts, yes, we have it. When we get to Paul's epistles, yes, we have it. And it's taught in other words as well. But Jesus, in his 3 years of teaching and all, he really only mentions, it's only recorded that he mentions the word church three times, and pretty well twice, two different contexts. Let's see what those teach us. Matthew 16, 13 through 20, the first one. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Mary.
How long do you estimate that disciples were with him when Peter was able to say, "You are the Son of the living God"?
This is about halfway. About halfway through. Just to give you a It may be a little bit more. It may be at the end of 2 years or something like that. But it's significantly past the halfway point.
Thank you.
All right. Just to kind of start with this, you have your yellow list. I am going to see if I can try something new. I'm going to put down here, Jesus builds the church. Jesus builds the church. What do I find in this very first passage? I find that Jesus says, I will build my church. Jesus didn't come down and tell the apostles, you guys build the church. You do it. No. He said, I'm going to do it. And so we find that this church is a gift that God is giving to us. He's the one that's going to do it. And so I guess we need to ask, well, how is he going to do it? And we need to know a little bit more of, well, what is it? If this is the first time that, and I don't know that that's the case, but if this is the first time that he mentions church, kind of go, well, what do you mean by that? Mark.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. How did the disciples even know what he's talking about?
Right.
Because there is no church in the sense that we think of it.
Correct. This word, I gave you the Greek word, ekklesia, that is the word for church. It's the idea is an assembly. It is a gathering.
So I'm already confused. Is this something brand new, or is this a continuation of something from what we would say the Old Testament?
Very good. The term itself, ekklesia, Jesus didn't make this word up. He didn't come up with it. It's an old word. What would it be? It would be an assembly. And so Jesus says, I'm going to have an assembly, but it is an assembly, and this ek at the beginning, you can have ekklesia, but this ek is out of. So the idea is that I am going to call an assembly out of, or I'm going to separate it out. So it's not new. This could be, we're all going to gather on the soccer field. We're all going to gather at the picnic tables. We're all going to have, it's simply a generic kind of gathering, assembly.
But you got to look at the adjective. My.
Oh.
That's new.
Got it. So not only do I have an I, that is, Jesus says, I will build, the verb, but you also have an adjective, and it's going to belong to Jesus. It's his gathering, his assembly. Once again, when I go to, I'm going to, and I think that, you know, if you want to, you know, you could, I'm going to try to give major headings where it's kind of, where we kind of go, oh, that's new. Or when we have something, I'm going to go back and kind of go, yeah, I would put that in this category here. So we'll try that. What else? Anita?
What I see through this is, it's I'm going to do it, and how does he do it? It's done through the study. It's done through the Holy Spirit by studying of God's Word. Not by any particular person or any particular church.
What do we see in these words that teach us some of those things? Again, I want to pull it out. I'm not denying, you know, you're
right.
Yep. But I'm going, can you see it in this passage? What do you see?
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
So what about that?
That's first and foremost.
What about that? What does Jesus say?
Blessed are you. It's Peter's confession. Peter's confession.
He acknowledged that.
This is who you are. This is who.
So we've got a profession of faith. In this particular one, Simon, they ask him, or he asked them, Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, having said that, Jesus now goes into, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, Peter, Petros, is the, there's kind of a play on words. He says, and on this rock I will build my church. So the church that Jesus is building is what?
On that confession.
On that confession. So if we're going to talk about church, I think that the very next thing that we would add, a significant thing is, it's going to come through this profession of faith. And particularly this one is that Jesus is the Christ.
Shouldn't that say profession of faith in Christ?
Tell me what you mean.
Well, a profession of faith can be anything. I believe the Son's coming. I mean, profession of faith in Christ, that He is the Son of God.
Yep.
The object of. And who He is, the Son of God.
So I'm talking about a profession of the Christian faith, which is based upon who Jesus is, and where we're going to go, that He's the Savior, that He's the Messiah. Tony?
It strikes me as significant that He says that you couldn't have found this out by yourself. And they've been with Him now for a year and a half, 2 years. But it is... He has been informed by the Holy Spirit, basically.
Great. So, when He talks about this, Jesus says to him, you know, like you said, you didn't figure this out yourself. This isn't your own. It had to be revealed to you. And so, you know, Anita's letting us know already, and we're kind of getting to this, well, how did this get revealed? Where? We say the word. At this point... They've got
Jesus' words.
They got Jesus' right before them. And so Jesus, Mary, over a year and a half, has been teaching them. And so now they are able to profess. The word teaches them. They profess back. Jesus says, ah, you got it. You've understood. You know. And so this this revelation, if we're going to talk about the profession of those in Christ has to come from there, good. I wanted to make that capital. That it is revealed by the Word. The Word is in that. Karen.
And the triune God is mentioned real early on here. All three of them.
Where do you see it?
Christ, the Son of the living God, which would be the Father, and then the Holy Spirit.
Here is the Father.
Yeah, and my Father, yes.
Do we have the Spirit mentioned?
You're revealing it's Peter.
The
Holy Spirit revealing it.
I don't see the word itself, though.
That's true.
True. Yeah.
I don't deny it. I'm just saying.
Right.
Yep.
Referred to, maybe not mentioned.
What else do we have?
Nothing can stand against that.
Yep.
Hell itself cannot prevail against it.
Okay.
Well, the rest of the people pretty much don't have a clue.
Let's try that.
They think he's one of any of the prophets. Fast.
Why does it refer to the gates of hell? Is that death?
whenever you have like the gates of a city or the gates of hell, if you can overcome the entryway, you've got the whole thing. I mean, it's just that's it. So this church that he is building is not going to be demolished. It's going to stand. There's many things that go away at death, or it just doesn't last past that. Everybody, you know, you might want to have your lasting memory. Yeah, it's going to go away. But not this. Not this.
Two things. It seems like he establishes the pastoral office and he gives the church the keys.
Very good. Immediately after, and I think you see it, where it talks about, yeah, I'm going to build this rock on my, I'm going to build the church on this rock, which is the profession. But immediately, as he goes on, he talks about, I'm going to give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This keys of the kingdom, and we immediately realize that Jesus connects the word itself with the office of the ministry or the pastoral office. In other words, it's not just a idea, message floating around somewhere doing kind of those kind of things. It has a means which it speaks out. And so he says, I'm going to give you the word, and I'm going to give you the office of the ministry that will preach the word, because that's the way the word gets out. And so he says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Wait a minute, what's this? The kingdom of heaven. What's that?
To get into heaven.
So that's the keys to heaven itself? Brian?
I mean, it seems it's a path to go from this mortal life. You have to go through the church, and then that key is the gateway that lets you get into heaven.
Got it.
And that is the only way into heaven.
We're going to see some other passages. We haven't gotten to it yet. Jesus often will say, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, or the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins who went out, or the kingdom of... When I talk about the kingdom of heaven in those ways, what do I usually say?
The church.
Yeah. I usually say that's the designation for the church. So has Jesus now given us a synonym? Is the church one way, and now he's saying, I'm going to give you the keys to the church when he talks about this? Or is it the keys to some other world, different life, something? Tony?
They're the same thing. But, I mean, albeit the same, you know, not the same place, but the same thing.
Yeah, we normally...
We're all part of the same group.
We kind of go...
Christ at the throne of God, and the people in heaven are there, and we're here.
Right. Brian, and then...
Okay, same thing. It's just, you know, the living and the dead, those who believe rightly in Christ are the church, but the keys are the church has the keys.
So,
you're not in the... If you don't believe rightly in Christ, you can't be in the church.
So, very good. If you don't believe rightly in Christ, you can't be in the church. Can you not be in the church and go to heaven?
No.
Well, that is the same thing.
Right. So what we're realizing about this is that and we, I guess we have a point got to that, but to say, whoa, those who are in the church are the believers, because in this world we're not talking about believers, that will be in heaven. And so we connect those and say, ah, that's the connection. I had someone there and then Eric.
I'm just looking at of rather than to. And I don't know if that's different or not.
All right, which of are you looking at?
The keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
It seems like it's a subtle difference, and I'm not sure. It could be interpreted the same.
Well,
it's also the church. It's the keys that the church owns. Yeah, I don't know.
If you read on, it explains what that means. The kingdom of heaven. I will give you the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Peter only can work. Something else is going on here.
This of is simply a genitive, meaning it belongs. These aren't the keys, you know, to your Ford Escort. This is the keys that belong to the kingdom. They are a part of it. That's the connection, so that you have that which goes with it. Pastor Roon does say that which goes after it, it begins to explain to us just a little bit more about that. Eric, and then I'll come up to Mary.
So that's one of the passages that we use when we're talking about the pastoral office. Is there any other ones to talk about keys like that? Or is this the only one that we've referenced?
Matthew 16, Matthew 18, and this morning John 20, which will be the gospel reading, but the very first part where Jesus is going to talk about forgiving and retaining sins.
Because that's what I was thinking. It's talking about the absolved ones. Because if you have the keys to, if you're the pastor, it's the authority to forgive or to retain sins. So that makes sense when you're talking about the kingdom of heaven, because those are all the forgiven.
So, if this binding and loosing, what are we saying? To open the gates of heaven is to welcome us into, you are a part of the kingdom. If you lock the gates, you can't be a part of it. You can't go in. It's not yours. So, if we are talking about coming into the church, we can see that this loosing on earth is connected with loosing in heaven. That concept that you guys are telling me, wait a minute, Pastor, these things go together. They're the same. Yeah, Jesus is talking about earth and heaven, and he says when this happens here, it also happens there. Don't get this idea that, oh, well, the church is irrelevant, and that's just something else. I don't need the church. I believe in Jesus. Wait a minute. He puts these together and says where there is the forgiving of sins, there is also the forgiveness that you're... We kind of see this in parallel, what we see here on earth. We believe by faith we will receive. We're already a part. One of the ways in which we talk about it is, you know, you may be a part of this congregation. When you die, you're transferred to the heavenly church, the one that is there. So we already see in this one that Jesus is connecting it. He's connecting it with the office of the ministry and the absolution or the retaining of sins.
So the keys are forgiveness, which you only get through faith, right?
Yes,
what are the keys? Well, the keys are forgiveness, because if you're not forgiven, you don't have that.
The keys are the announcement of the forgiveness of sins or the announcement of the not forgiveness, the retaining of sins, which is only received by faith.
Right.
Only received by faith. Anita?
I would say that is, you're talking about Holy Communion. Because, yes, I can go read this stuff here, buy a book, read it, and say I have faith. But you're not getting Holy Communion.
So this passage, and it's going to be interesting, this doesn't mention Holy Communion. It's interesting. It doesn't mention it. And you kind of go, that's pretty important stuff. You're right, that's a parallel. There is a parallel. He starts off with, though, the profession of faith, the teaching of the word, and then it coming out of the mouth. And he immediately goes on to the preaching of forgiveness or the retaining of sins, which is received by faith. So it's an acceptance, a reception. Let me say it that way. It's a reception of that teaching. There's more than just a passiveness. There's an active reception of that. We are going to get to Lord's Supper. Would it surprise you that a year and a half in, that Jesus doesn't yet talk about Lord's Supper?
No.
Because
he hasn't established it yet.
Right. Maundy Thursday is the institution of it, so it hasn't been established yet. Yes, Lord's Supper is of extreme importance to us, and later it will be that. But at this point, we haven't quite got there yet. So you know that's understandable.
I think it's important for us to remember as we go through this discussion. At this point in time, the apostles didn't know what they believed. We grow in our faith. They grew in their faith. And I think we can't here use them as an example of the perfect church, because Christ is teaching them how it's supposed to work. And we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. That's why the more you read the Bible, the more you understand it. Okay.
Rachel, Karen, then Brian. Rachel?
It's obviously something that Christ is speaking about, giving them the keys of heaven in the future. They're not pastors yet. But they must understand that they're going to be priests, which is going to shake everything, because obviously it's not done through sacrifice. That's what they've grown up with their entire lives, their entire history. And now it's what they say rather than the sacrifice. And it does, you know, you would expect for Jews to have sacrifice mentioned in there somewhere. So it makes me wonder if they were wondering where the sacrifice is involved. Because do they know this yet? Are they thinking about this? I don't even remember from reading the other Gospels.
So we're in the midst of seminary training. He's taught them stuff, and he says, all right, now let me ask you. So he asks them a question. Once they get the answer, okay, you got that right, or no, I need to teach you a little bit more. He gives them the answer and then tells them about what is coming forward. Here is the role that you're going to have. You are correct. The Old Testament, most of the time, would have been, you're going to be a priest, you're going to work in the temple, you're going to offer sacrifices or whatever. Jesus speaks in a different way. He does speak of an assembly. He does speak about calling people out, that they might be a part of his assembly. And then he is going to talk about this profession of him being the Christ that is central to this message. And it is going to be a message that will involve forgiving or not forgiving. We got the heaven, we've got earth, we've got that this is a long lasting. It's not going to stop with death or hell. It's going to go forward. That's kind of the connection.
A rejoinder to what I was going to say. Because these guys know the scriptures, I would assume that's why they know who the Christ is, other than also being given faith by the Holy Spirit. But they know, for instance, the passage in Isaiah, where, you know, I will give you the sign of Jonah, and, you know, you will see the Lamb. Because just like Isaac, they must be asking, Father, where's the sacrifice?
Karen. Brian.
Don't we need to be careful about making the pastor like a gatekeeper that lets you into heaven? I mean, when you believe rightly in Christ, you are saved. I don't have to have the pastor say, okay, now you're admitted, here's your admit one pass to get in. I mean, more the other way on binding sin to you, but I want to make sure that we don't. When you believe rightly in Christ, you're saved, period. I don't have to make a decision for Jesus. I don't have to make a public confession of my faith. I don't have to do any of those things. When I believe rightly, I'm saved. My sins are forgiven.
You are correct. So in this passage where it speaks of, and you are Peter, is it setting up the first pope isn't setting up Peter that he might be the gatekeeper, and that you will find the church wherever the pastor is, the pope is, the whatever, is he connecting it with an institution like that?
No, because he says wherever two or three are gathered. Yeah.
All right, we're going to get down to that in just a little bit, where we're going to see that, yes, there are other passages that make it quite clear. But in this particular one, you know, he does reference Peter concerning it. Jane?
Well, I was just going to say, we've got to be careful to differentiate between the visible church and the invisible church. Because we're... Just because you're in a earthly church doesn't make you a Christian.
In this passage, I don't see the words visible and invisible.
Well, no, I understand.
What do I see?
Faith.
I see heaven and earth.
Yeah.
I understand those distinctions. That is there. I don't want to impose upon it yet. I want to hear a little bit more.
I was just thinking that.
But those are categories. But I'm just saying, you're right. We tend to understand by that. But this presents to us when it talks about, and on this rock, what is this rock?
The confession, not Peter.
It's not Peter. It's the confession. So I don't think we have a problem with Jesus connecting this only with a person who has to have an apostolic succession, who lays their hands upon, who lays upon that, and if you're not connected with this guy, you're not. The church is where? Oh, you guys really aren't church, just as long as you're where I am, because I am, you know. No, it's the connection is with the confession. But having said that, that it's on this rock, what he has... It's been revealed. We see that there needs to be a proclamation. You're right. I'm saved if I believe. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, and the word has to be preached. And so, well, of course there's going to be those kind of things. Tony?
Yeah, we can look at this from our perspective. We already know the story. So we would get ahead of ourselves. To me, this rock and everything points to this as the foundation. He starts off building from, basically from our point of view, from the bottom. And what comes after, there will be, I explain a lot of this, but right now he is laying the foundation for his church.
I've given you already I hesitate because I don't want to put too many things out, but already, Matthew 16, all I want you to kind of get a feel for is that what? In this Matthew 16, we already have the kernel that explains, you know, that the church is built on Jesus Christ the Messiah, that the church then professes that belief, that this is revealed and comes through the word of God that makes the church, that the church continues beyond just this world and further, and that within the church there is a office that is to be preaching and teaching the word so that we can come to faith and believe. This is a pretty small amount, you know, if you want to go, well, he only mentioned the church once. Yeah, but very quickly, this, if he hasn't already taught them about some of these things, at least this is the kernel that then can be opened up and can explain more with it. Pastor and then Mary.
Well, I think it's important for us to remember that by nature, we need the gates of hell unlocked. Because we're dead in our trespasses and sins. No, I mean the gates. We're trapped in hell by nature. That's what I'm trying to say. And if somebody doesn't unlock the gates of hell, there's no way into heaven. And God is the one that unlocks the gates of heaven.
Mary?
I've always been confused by whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whichever is accepted or not accepted, when how is something bound or loosed in heaven?
So, what goes on in this world in connection with his church, Jesus says, those decisions, those actions, what is going on here, is actually authoritative and is proper and will be considered valid in the heavenly realm. So, we don't say, well, you just forgave sins here on earth, and when we get to heaven, it may not be that way. Wait a minute. Jesus said, oh, did he forgive your sins there? Did he? Yes. Then it goes for me in heaven. And so we don't want to be playing one off against the other. Let me just give you an example. So you say, well, I was here at church. I heard the word of God. I was taught that I was saved by grace through faith. But I'm really, are you going to go to heaven? Oh, I hope so. What? Well, you get to the gates of heaven, and then Peter, and you go, no. What did I? When you get there, what has been taught you here goes for there. There's not this kind of, I'm not quite sure, maybe it's different, or somehow it's not going to. No, it is. It is the same.
Let me give you an example of what occurred to me just this morning when reading all of that again. Is in those cases where a person goes to a church where, say, homosexual behavior is accepted, forgiven, go right ahead and live that way, and you're part of our church. Of course, we don't think that is a faithful church. But that person may be, with this statement, be invited to believe that is okay in heaven. You know what I mean? It's like.
So in this context, if someone wants to build their church around bocce ball. Welcome to play bocce ball, and then you can be a part of this gathering, this group. We're gonna call you out of the world. There's a lot of non-bocce ball players, but what we're going to be, is that Jesus building his church, or is that?
It's man doing it.
Yeah, that's me, and I'm making my own gathering. And when I do that based upon that and not upon the profession of Christ, is that what this is talking about? Well, no. And then I go back and say this revelation comes from the Word of God. So my revelation, my idea that this should be a bocce ball thing doesn't come from the Word of God. So it's not going to last. You know, I'm sorry, we're not all going to the heavenly bocce ball courts, in the sky. And this isn't the ministry that was set up. It's not a ministry of teaching bocce ball. It's a ministry of forgiving. So none of that fits. Now, granted, you're right. There are those that are going to try to make up their own. But this doesn't fit
without
Jesus.
Without really doing it is what I'm concerned about people who go to a church that teach this, bound and loosed. And since their church says, it's okay, God made you that way, so how could it be wrong?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I can't.
It's one of those mysteries.
Well, wherever God builds a church, the devil, builds a temple right next to it.
Yeah.
And, so those are, contradictory. I mean, I can't go back. I've got to go back to the Word of God. I've got to explain that. Are there those who manipulate to have their own teaching, and then they will take the word and, like a waxen nose, make it fit to whatever they want? Of course they will.
So that person becomes a victim of wrong teaching, and that's it.
So that's always going to happen. I gotta teach the word, and I've got to show them that no, that's not what this passage is about at all. But out in the world, what do we find? I mean, by and large, I don't see any false teachers, you know, giving this binding and loosing and. I'm sorry. It's just works right. That's not so much.
Okay. I'm already throwing that back.
Anita and then Beck here.
What I was going to say is pointing out the importance of what you are doing and the importance of the training that you had as a minister of God. You are out there to teach and be there teaching people what is the Word of God. And if it's not being correctly, then
right, so this office of the ministry, the office of the keys, is connected with the word, which is connected with revelation, which is so yes, absolutely, you look at those and go, wait a minute, where that's not going on. I don't want, this is not just a gathering where anybody and everybody speaks. It's one where we have the teaching, we put it all together. Karen?
I'm just thinking about Jesus warning us about wolves.
Yep.
That's exactly what's going on, what Mary's talking about.
Matthew 18, the next passage. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So Matthew 18 has the word church twice. And it appears that he is going back and he is expounding or at least teaching a little bit more. But the context of this passage is a bit unusual. What's the context of Matthew 18?
Well, he's got these two, how to deal with somebody that has a problem, you have a problem with.
Okay. So we've got a gathering, we've got an assembly. Tony says, well, we may have a problem with someone who is a part of the assembly. Oh, Brian?
Either publicly sinning or have her. Bringing forward some false doctrine and we'll back off of it.
So I don't see the word sin. How did you expect, how did you know that this is some kind of sin going on?
Because the church is here, he's telling him, if your brother sins against you.
Got it.
First line.
First line has sins. As it goes on, how many of you think you're a part of the church? Pretty well, lots of hands. How many sinners? If your brother sins, okay, you got two hands back there. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. They're both sinning. Wait. So, if your brother sins, kick him out of the church.
No.
This is where you're forgiving. This is dealing with you forgiving somebody before God's forgiving you, which is a little bit different. You know, your brother sinned against you. Well, if you go fix, help him realize his faults that and so you can give him forgiveness from yourself first.
What in this passage lets us know what's the real problem? In other words, what I was getting at was it's not that sin excludes you from the church. But what is the real problem?
Unrepentance.
Unrepentance. It says it in which passage right here?
He refuses to hear them.
He refuses to hear them. Well, that would be the people. What are they doing? Every word may be established. They're coming with a teaching from the Word of God. And if they won't return to the Word of God, that profession, that teaching, everything that is going on with that, you're going to show him his sin, but I want him to confess. I want him to return. If he won't, then you establish it. And finally, then it talks about here, tell it to the church. Let me just mention before, I don't want to get too far afield with it. This, how is this speaking? It's speaking in this way. When the pastoral office, the one who has been given to watch over the doctrine of the members, when they realize that there is a sin, individually, they go to them to talk to them, you have more than one, and all. When the pastor says, all right, you have ceased to be a member of the church, I am supposed to, when they refuse to confess, I am supposed to announce it to you so that you will know that we no longer consider them to be a believer in Christ, going to heaven, a member of the congregation. Tell it to the church. And so you as, you know, one body would all go, oh, this is what, it serves as a warning to us. It also serves as something in which we say to them, no, we all agree in this matter. And it says, then if they don't, you should let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So we're gonna put them in spiritual time out. Is that our part? We're gonna shame them. No, what?
Admonish?
They're not part of the church.
They're not part of the church. So how do you treat someone who's not part of the church?
You pray for them and hopefully they'll...
Absolutely. So what we have is, if you're going to treat them like this, you are going to treat them like a mission opportunity now. We no longer regard them as part of the family. They are to regard it as someone outside. And so we say to them, here's the way you come back into the church. And so we speak of repentance. We say, it doesn't mean you treat them badly. It just means that is the way that you... Now, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth, anything you ask will be done. But where two or three are gathered together in my name. Hey, wait a minute. What do we learn about the church? It's a gathering. They've been called out. That ecclesia. Called out of something and been gathered together. Earlier, when I talked about the profession of Christ, Brian said, well, it ought to be the done any just profession in Jesus' name. Here it is, in my name. That's always a reference to the revelation concerning who Jesus is. And so Jesus is letting us know that the church itself is a gathering of those who all profess the same thing. And we find that, what if someone ceases to confess that same thing? Well, then we consider them not to be a part of that church. The refusal to confess the sins. Brian?
Also seems to be a warning for us not to work for the Internal Revenue Service.
Yeah, because that tax collector part, there's a whole lot of tax.
There's a
and Matthew was a tax collector, so that's really...
Oh, yes.
He's confessing something right there.
So the bind and loose that we had before, guess what? We got right back to it again. And Jesus, again, there's an importance that goes with the binding and loosing, the office of the keys, the forgiving and retaining. Once again, we're not going to, you know, to say that the church belongs to the person of Peter. It's interesting, though, up here, you can't see it in the English. In the Greek, the word you is singular. And this is the passage that they say, aha, this is simply talking to the Pope. But the same passage down below that speaks almost in the exact same way, and now it is the you in the plural. You all, that is, you apostles. Here, Peter is kind of like the representative speaking on behalf of all them, and Jesus says, up here it is. And down here, he says the exact same thing, referring to all the apostles. So there is a connection, and as soon as he talks about that, he makes the connection again. But why? Because in order to have the word, you got to have someone preaching the word. You don't have it apart from it. You know, those that think, well, I'm going to come to believe in Jesus and then I'm going to go find a church. Well, that's a novel idea, but how are you going to come to believe? Because the church is the one that's preaching the word. I mean, it can happen. I mean, it's possible. The word is clear. I mean, it could be that you're in a hotel room and you pull out the Gideon Bible and you're reading and you come to believe in Jesus. But immediately you would say, well, here it talks about the church. I better find one. But that's not the normal way that things happen. And so we have it mentioned again, the binding and the loosing. We've got the church. We've got the not referring to the office itself, but the gathering of those together in the name, which there would be preaching and teaching that goes with it. If we go back to our list, I'm going to say we ought to at least agreement in, we'll say the doctrine, as it talked about in the name, that's the teaching that we have. And so we're adding here the office of the ministry. What about that office of ministry? There is the forgive and the retain.
And how about the presence of Jesus? Where is that?
And that is the next point.
Okay.
Whoa. Where did you get this? The presence. What do we make that count?
It goes higher on my head.
What about the presence of Jesus?
He doesn't go golfing with you.
I thought he went up to heaven. He's not here. He's up in heaven. He went on a trip. Left us behind.
He's at the right hand of God.
He's at the right hand. Yeah, he's not here. He's at the right hand.
He's the Word.
Where did you get the presence of Jesus?
Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them.
I am there in the midst of them. When we talk about the church, we're going to say, oh, where can I find the presence of Jesus? Where is Jesus? He promises to be in this gathering. So this church that he is setting up is one in which he promises to be active in it. He promises to be there with us. If you want to know where he has built a church that you might find him there. Tony.
John says he's in the Word.
John says
he's in the Word.
He is the Word.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The Word presents the Word. Yeah. Yes.
And in the sacrament.
And so far, tell me sacraments, what are you talking about?
Baptism and Lord's Supper.
Right. I haven't seen those mentioned yet.
No.
Not in Matthew 6 and Matthew 18.
Get to Matthew 28.
Yeah, we're getting to it. And again, I'm not trying to separate those out, but I'm just trying to pull out and kind of go, you know, here's where he's going to start with this. And he's put together. Do I have another?
Everyone in the church is not a pastor, but we are all in the church, and the word of God can go out through anyone in the church. I talk to my neighbors, my friends, whoever. I'm not a pastor, but the church is the church, and if we believe and confess rightly and we tell others about that, the word of God works through the entire church.
I am hoping by this to establish the doctrine of the church by going through these passages. With these, I also want to, what does it mean to be church? Part of it is this proclamation of us out to the world. It is not, I used to say it this way, but it's not, well, Pastor, you do that. I just sit down in the pew and listen and sing. You, Pastor, if you want to go tell people about Jesus, that's fine. Go ahead. No, you're right. This is, it comes through all of us. The pastor is simply a servant to those who are of the church. Each one of us, we haven't gotten to it. We're going to be talking about each one of us. So we're going to talk about mission. But I'm afraid that much evangelism, mission talk, is separated from the church. And that's why I want to establish this first. Last one, Tony?
Yeah, I see this first as, well, this is just an argument between me and another guy and get two more and so forth. But putting it into the church, really, if you have a congregation of people, what is the most likely problem you'll have? It's going to be between what one another is saying. And he already puts that right up at the top. First, you establish the church. The next thing, how do you handle it?
Right. I'm going to come back to that. I'm out of time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, and through his teaching, he has established the right message concerning that he is the Christ. He has also established for us a gathering so that there might be the preaching and teaching of your word. And so help us that we might receive that teaching and that we might live as your people in your church. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.